The rich young ruler came to our Lord one day and asked a question that would have thrilled many, many preachers. They would have said, "Let's kneel in prayer and repeat after me." And they would have said, "Fill up the baptistry there." That rich young ruler said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" But Jesus' response was not a modern day response. He said, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save the one that is God." And then the Lord, if you know the account there in Luke 18, he began to ask him questions about the commandments. And the young man no doubt stuck out his chest and said he'd kept all those from his youth up. The truth is he was breaking them while he was standing there speaking to the Lord. And the rich young ruler goes away sorrowfully. But it's not just because he was rich. Our Lord told him to sell all the goods that he had and give to the poor. And the result of that, he does go away sorrowfully, and he was the rich young ruler. But that's really just a secondary reason he went away that way. The real reason he went away sorrowfully was because he did not know who God was, and he did not know what God was like. I want to say to you again this morning, this thing of knowing God and knowing what God is like, that's what eternal life is. If you know not God, if you don't know what God is like this morning, you have not eternal life. You know not the Lord. So once again this morning, we are going to ponder this question, this vital question. What is God like? And we're going to do it by looking at one of the most familiar passages in the entire Old Testament, but a passage that is critical to our knowing what God is like. I want you to find your place with me this morning in Isaiah chapter 6. I've preached from it many times. I've preached from it since I have been here, but I pray that the Lord might enable us to look at it with fresh eyes this morning as we ponder this question: what is God like? And as you're turning, could I ask you, what's the very first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that question? When someone asks you, "What is your God like?" what is the first thing that comes to your mind? The Word of God in Isaiah chapter 6 tells us what our God is like. He is a holy God. The Word of God says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting up on a throne high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I'm undone. I'm a man because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of..." Everything changes when Isaiah sees what God is really like. "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord He's heard the seraphims, but he doesn't hear the Lord until he sees what the Lord is like. If you ever are going to hear from the Lord, you must come to see and know what he is like. Whom shall I send, the Lord says, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. And the Lord will add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning. The Puritan Thomas Watson said that holiness is the sparkling crown, rather the sparkling jewel in the Lord's crown. He said sovereignty is his scepter. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Righteousness and truth hold him up. He said truth drips from his lips. Love fills his heart. Omnipotence is in his arms and in his hands. Omniscience is his eyes and his ears. But the crown jewel of all is his holiness. Oh my, this morning, but what does it mean to say God is holy? You want to know what God is like this morning? He's holy. But what does that mean? The word holy comes from a word which means literally to cut. It has the idea of separating, to set apart. In fact, when we say God is holy, that's what we're saying, that God is separate, that God is set apart. And I want you to know that's not just so here on earth. Why, that's even so in heaven. In the holy place we call heaven, I remind you, he is separate even there. For around the throne is a rainbow this morning. And there around the throne is a crystal, a sea as of glass. Oh my, our Lord is holy. Our Lord is separate, not just in earth, but in heaven. In heaven as well this morning. In these opening verses, Isaiah sees this throne. It's separate. It's high. It's holy. It's lifted up. I remind you in Luke 1, it says that his name is holy. I remind you when the Lord said, pray this way, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy. That's the first petition in that model. In that model prayer. Oh my, this morning, our God is holy this morning. Do you know that that's what he's like this morning? In the 50th Psalm, in Psalm 50, God indicts Israel with a number of charges. One of the chief, though, is this. They thought God was just like them. It says in Psalm 50, verse 21, thou thoughtest that I am altogether such a one as thyself. Oh my, this morning, God's not like you and God's not like me. No, he's holy this morning. Now, from this familiar passage this morning, I want to answer what God's like in a negative way and see what he's not like, because he's not like us. But it may just surprise you what he's not like. He's unlike men. He's unlike the kings of men. Now, he's a king. Our God is King of kings and Lord of lords. But oh my, kings come and kings go. Kings die. In the year that King Uzziah died. But our God is unlike that. Our God is unlike men. Our God is unlike the kings that come and the kings that go. He eternally lives and he rules and he reigns. This vision that Isaiah gets is dated for us. The Holy Ghost wants us to know when this takes place that Uzziah died. He just didn't get COVID and lose a battle all of a sudden. No, no, no. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we get some snippets, some tidbits of Uzziah's life. He becomes king at a young age when he's 16 years of age. He reigns for 52 years.
dies when he's 68 years old? Oh my, but what brings about this man's death? Because if you read 2 Chronicles 26, he starts out well. I mean, he follows the Lord, he fears the Lord, and he prospered and he was used of God greatly. Until it says, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And God strikes him, and death eventually comes. How come? Why is it? What brings this death sentence to this man who has lived the majority of his life loving God, serving God, obeying God? The day came he forgot what God was like. The day came he disregarded the holiness of God and thought he was just like God and could go in the temple and do anything. The priests, if you'll read the chapter this afternoon, the priests say, no, don't do this, don't do this. Don't do what has been ordained by God only for those that are holy and set apart. But it stirs Uzziah with wrath, and he enters into the temple and he goes to the altar doing what only the holy men of God are ordained to do. And while he is yet doing it, God strikes him with leprosy. He refuses to treat God as separate, so God forces separation. God at the altar, God at church, if you please, strikes him with leprosy, and he's cut off. He's separate from the temple. He's separate from the priest. He's separate from God. He's separate from the people. He's separate from his family. He's separate from his friends. And he dies alone. Verse 21 tells us that, oh my, he was cut off. He died as a leper. And his epitaph is this: he was a leper. Why? He forgot what God was like. He forgot that God is a holy God. God is higher and more holy than you and I could ever even imagine. He's unlike men. Here, the throne of men in chapter 6 is empty, but God's throne's full. Because he's not like man. He's unlike men. Oh, man. Isaiah is walking the floor, wringing his hands. The nation is in a national crisis. But oh my, while Isaiah's walking the floor and while everybody doesn't know what to do, God is sitting high upon his throne, ruling and reigning. And you can mark her down this morning. In this day of national crisis, in this day of moral crisis in our nation and in our world, I will tell you what God is doing. He is sitting, he's ruling, and he's reigning upon his throne. That's what God is like. He's unlike men, though. Now, kings, and by the way, the greater the king, the greater the king, and the greater the kingdom of the king, the longer their train, the more elaborate their robes, and the longer their train. The word for train is the word for him. It's how it's translated back in the book of Exodus. And a mighty king would have a long flowing train, and they would often have to have attendants to carry the train. You probably haven't seen a king do that, but you've seen in a wedding ceremony, you've seen that veil, and you've seen that train of the bride's dress. And the maid of honor slips around down here sometimes and fixes it just right. I'm talking about what God's like, how he's unlike man. And Isaiah goes to looking at the train of the Lord, and he traces it, and he traces it, and he traces it, and he traces it. Why? It's filled the temple. Why? It's almost as if though he cannot find the beginning and he cannot find the end. There's a good reason for that. Our King has no beginning and he has no end. Oh my, there's no end to our King's kingdom. Isaiah sees him in absolute authority, in absolute sovereignty. That's what God is like. Which means he's unlike men. Now I want to ask you again this morning. What comes to your mind when you think, what is God like? He's unlike men. Number two, he's unlike messengers. He's unlike these holy created beings, these holy servants, these holy messengers of the Lord that are ready to do whatever God says do. I mean, they don't have to pray about it. They don't have to think about it. If God says do it, they get at it. Oh, man. He's unlike not just men, though, on earth. He's unlike messengers even in heaven. These seraphims. It's the word. It's literally the word burning ones. It's the exact same word used of the fiery serpents in Numbers chapter 21. Unlike anything they had ever seen in Moses' day, these seraphims are unlike anything heaven or earth knows of. Oh my, and here these holy, sinless, perfect angels, messengers of God, but oh my, they've got to keep separate from the Lord because the Lord is holy, and when they look upon the Lord, there's only one thing they can say: holy, holy, holy. Not holy because he is holy, not holy air, not even holy is. No, there's none else like him. He's holy. He's holy. This morning, oh my, nonstop these messengers have to cry, he's holy. I love what A.W. Tozer says. He says, God's just not high above and separate from the caterpillar. He's high and separate from the seraphims, from the cherubims that we sung of a moment ago. He's as high and separate from them as he is from the caterpillar, as he is from you, and as he is from me. Why? He's holy this morning, oh my. In fact, God's holiness is so bright. He's glorious in his holiness, the word of God says. His holiness is so bright that these seraphims cannot stand to look at him. They cannot stand to gaze upon him. Oh my. They've got to, with their wings, cover their faces. Oh my. Not just in humility. Oh yes. But oh my. The brightness of his glory and the brightness of his holiness is so bright. Why? Just as you and I can't go out and look at the sun but just a moment and we have to turn away. That's what these holy messengers are having to do. He's unlike these holy messengers. He's unlike these holy seraphim this morning. They cover their faces well in humility. Because remember, Uzziah's dead. Uzziah's dead because of his pride. They cover not just their faces in humility. They cover their feet in obedience. They're not choosing their own path. They're not going where they want to go. No, they're there as messengers to go where he says to go. And I don't have time to deal with it. But two sets of the three sets of wings. Two of the three sets of wings are for worship. Because there's none in heaven like him. There's none in heaven that is as holy as the Lord. You know what these seraphims are doing? They're doing just exactly what the psalmist says to do. Oh, magnify the Lord with us. Oh, magnify the Lord together with us. Oh my, let us exalt his name together. And did you notice when we read a moment ago? That as they cry, holy, 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 it shakes the door of heaven. 300 plus of us sung it a moment ago. Nothing shook. But when the holy seraphim, a holy messenger of God, says holy, 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 all of heaven goes to shaking. What do you reckon would happen if the one then sitting on the throne spoke? Whatever he said be, it would be. And when he says to the dead, rise up, the dead rise up, I'm saying our God is unlike anyone or anything you can imagine this morning. He's unlike men. He's unlike even these holy, sinless messengers. Oh my, J. Vernon McGee said, if we would see him in his high position, it would deliver us from our low living. Oh my, this morning, what's God like this morning? I'm trying to tell you this morning, he is holy. I'm here to tell you again this morning, it matters what God is like. Right quick. He's not just unlike men. He's not just unlike messengers. He's unlike me. And before you get real religious looking, he's unlike you. He's unlike me, and he's unlike you. For when Isaiah sees him, all Isaiah can say is, whoa. Amen. The seraphims could only say, holy. But they were without sin. Even those holy seraphims could only say, holy. But Isaiah, when Isaiah sees the Lord, all Isaiah can say is, whoa. Whoa, whoa is me. It's a word of anguish. It's a word of suffering. But it's not just that. The word woe, it's a word of being cursed. It's a word of being judged. It is a word of being damned. So how you know, preacher? Because for six times, that's exactly how Isaiah uses it in chapter 5. Cursed are you, judged are you, damned are you, damned are you, judged are you, cursed are you. But oh my, when Isaiah sees holy God, Isaiah sees God Almighty in his heart, he says, oh my, judged am I doomed am I, cursed am I. Oh my, the seventh woe is Isaiah's own woe. He says, I'm undone. He says, I'm ruined. I'm broken. I'm broken to pieces when I see this holy, 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 holy God. I am but broken to pieces. Oh my, because he sees what God is like. But he just doesn't say, I'm undone. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Time out, wait a minute. If this prophet, if this man of God, if this one that has been the counselor to the king, if this man is a man of unclean lips, who in the world then has clean lips? But Isaiah seeing God, sees himself as he is. And Isaiah knows it's from the heart the mouth speaketh. And Isaiah says, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. He's unlike, God is unlike us. But Isaiah's just like us. That's why in chapter 5, he's nailing their hides to the wall. Woe is you. Woe is you. Woe is you. Isaiah looked pretty good compared to everybody else. Compared to the Egyptians, he's a pretty good guy. Compared to the Babylonians, why, Lord, even compared to some of them Jews, he didn't look too bad. But he's not compared now to Babylon. He's not compared to another Jew. He is compared to God Almighty. And you may think you look good compared to me, and I might think I look good compared to you, but hear me tell you this morning, ain't any of us going to be compared one to another, but we'll be compared to Almighty Holy God. And if that is the case, the only response is, whoa, whoa. Woe is me. Have you ever realized that this morning? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever realized that this morning? If not, you have never seen God and you are not saved. Because the Word of God says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth, which is a person, the truth is not in us. Isaiah realizes he's so unclean, he's so undone, he's so unholy, he can't join in the chorus. He must keep his mouth shut. That's like Job. After Job had said so much, when God showed up and when God got to ask him the question, Job had to say, I'm going to put my hand on my mouth. I've done said too much now. Oh my, why? Our God is unlike men. He's unlike messengers. He's unlike you. He's unlike me. And what causes this? It's real simple. There it is. Mine eyes have seen the King. He realizes what God is like. Now hear me, and I'm soon done. Being unlike us, because he's unlike men. He's unlike messengers. He's unlike me. He's unlike you. But being unlike us doesn't mean he's not concerned. Being unlike us does not mean he is unconcerned about us. He's concerned about men. That's why he gives Isaiah this vision. That's why Isaiah records this in the Word of God for you and I to read. He is holy. He is unlike us, but he's concerned about us. He's concerned about messengers. I'm not going to deal with it this morning, but that's why in verse 8 he's asking for volunteers who will go for us. He's concerned about messengers. Okay, he's concerned about me. He's concerned about you, because he shows us how you and I can be forgiven. He shows us how you and I, who are holy, unholy, and unlike him, can become holy. For in verse 7, I read again, that this one comes with a tongue from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth. He laid it upon my mouth. Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. He provides cleansing. He provides purging for sin. He takes
takes away sin and iniquity. Oh my, because he is concerned about us this morning. But I don't miss it. This sin is only taken away by sacrifice. The coal from the altar is the result of a sacrifice that has been consumed. The coal that remains is the result of a sacrifice that has been burnt, is the result of a sacrifice that has been judged. And because he's holy God, sin must be judged. But oh my, he's a God of grace, and he makes a way for you and I to be cleansed of our sin. Isaiah sees God as high and lifted up and holy, but he sees God as a God of grace that wants to touch and change lives, starting with his in these moments. Oh my. And that messenger is directed to take that coal. It's hot. He takes it with tongs. But it's cooled enough with the blood of the sacrifice that it won't kill Isaiah. No, it'll clean him up. It'll purify those unclean lips. As Isaiah is touched with that coal. Now hear me this morning. Our cleansing is not from a coal. It's from the cross. Our cleansing is possible because the one that hung on the cross was judged for our sin and took our judgment upon himself, oh my, to cool the judgment of God so that you and I would not be killed, but that we might live and have life and have it more abundant. And this angel comes and touches the lips of Isaiah and changes Isaiah. Changes Isaiah. And as sure as he touched Isaiah's lips, more smoke ascended. More smoke ascended. You cauterize flesh, smoke ascends. A holy messenger with a holy coal, cooled by holy blood, doesn't kill, but it purifies and it cleanses and it changes Isaiah, and smoke rises up, mingling with the smoke that's already filled the temple. And oh my, if you've ever been saved this morning, it's because holy God took a holy messenger and a holy book through the holy blood and touched your life, and the praise ascends unto heaven. I wonder this morning, have you ever been touched by Calvary? Have you ever been touched by a holy coal, if you please, from Calvary? Has your life ever been changed so that now your life, your lips give words of praise unto the holy God? Brother Doug, y'all get ready. Whoever you are this morning, whether you're sitting here, whether you're Zooming, whether you listen to my radio, whoever you are this morning, you need forgiveness for your sin. And it only comes through Calvary. It only comes through the holy God that rules and reigns on the throne, who has judged unholy sin on my, but has made a way for a coal of grace to touch our hearts and to touch our lives. It's only found in Christ alone. Now, I tell you what, this morning, you can be like the rich young ruler and show up at church all the time and know the commandments and not know what God is like. You can claim to keep his commandments, and you can die cut off, just like Uzziah. Have you ever realized this morning what God's like? I'll tell you, if you ever do, you realize he's unlike me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean. Have you ever acknowledged I'm a sinner in the eyes of holy God this morning? I tell you, this morning there's a fountain filled with blood. The coal in the tongs, it's a live coal. I want to tell you, Calvary was thousands of years ago, but it's living today, and the touch of Calvary is alive today and can touch and change and cleanse your life this morning. Tell Christ you are a great sinner, because hallelujah, he's a great Savior. Oh, he's a holy God, but he's a gracious God that's concerned about men. He's concerned about me. And he's concerned about you. So, preacher, I won't go to heaven when I die. Well, I want to tell you, only those things that are holy enter into heaven. Only those things that have been made holy enter into heaven. We're not cleansed today by coal. We're not cleansed today by prayer. No, we're cleansed today by being touched with Calvary and what he's done. They're singing, you're standing, altars open. I've told you what God's like this morning. You ought to come to him.
The crowd didn't know just what they had done. When they cried, crucify God's only Son. But they did not realize this was the Father's seed. He had come to bruise Satan's head, so Calvary had to be. From the beginning, God's plan was set in place. From Bethlehem to Calvary, God's purpose was grace. He drank from the bitter cup all the dregs of sin. When he cried, "It is finished," salvation began.
You see, Calvary touched many things on that day. Mercy
that changed Isaiah,
and from his wounds came
that can change you this morning.
I stand in amazement. I rejoice in victory for the wonder of it all. Calvary touched a sinner like me.
World doesn't know to this very day how Calvary touched my life, how everything was changed. But I know what it did for me, and I can testify. When Calvary touched this heart of mine, I passed from death to life.
You see, Calvary touched many things on that day. Mercy was crucified, and from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement. I rejoice in victory for the wonder of it all. Calvary touched a sinner like me.
You see,
Calvary. crucified, and from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement, I rejoice in victory. For the wonder of it all, Calvary touched a sinner like me.
You see, Calvary touched many things on that day. Mercy was crucified, and from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement, I rejoice in victory. For the wonder of it all, Calvary touched a sinner like me. There my burdened soul found liberty
at Calvary.
I suppose this is in these white spaces, and I don't recommend spend a lot of time in the white spaces. You can get in trouble. But I kind of feel like maybe Isaiah heard, holy, holy, holy. I kind of feel like maybe Isaiah said, boy, I sure would like to get in on that. I sure would like to get in on that, but I can't. I know I'm unholy. I know I'm unclean. I know I'm not right. So God sent a messenger to take care of what was hindering him from getting in on it. And some of you standing here this morning, you're saying, boy, I sure would like to get in on that. I sure would like to get on that. Then why don't you do something about it? Why don't you confess, I'm undone, I'm unholy, I'm unlike God, and God Almighty can do for you what no one else can do. Sing a little more of it, Brother Doug. You ought to mind the Holy Ghost when he's troubling the water this morning. Be a good day to get saved. Be a good day to get touched this morning.
Calvary touched many things on that day. Mercy was crucified, and from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement. I rejoice in victory. For the wonder of it all, Calvary touched a sinner like me.
You see, Calvary touched many things on that day.
Mercy was crucified, and from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement, I rejoice in victory. For the wonder of it all, Calvary touched a sinner like me.
Say God.
You see, Calvary touched many things on that day. Mercy was crucified, and from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement, I rejoice in victory. For the wonder of it all, Calvary touched a sinner like me. And from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement, I rejoice in victory. For the wonder of it all, Calvary touched a sinner like me.
You see,
Calvary touched many things on that day. Crucified, and from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement, I rejoice in victory. For the wonder of it all, Calvary touched a sinner like me.
You know, in Isaiah 6, it's just Isaiah getting in on this. You know what all those people he preached to for the first five chapters? The truth is, I'd say they'd turned him off. And if you and I are not careful, we'll turn some people off. If all we got, woe is you, woe is, won't you straighten it? Woe is you, woe is you, woe is you, woe is you, woe is you. But if you ever see him and see what he's like, it'll change your tune. So how do you know that happened to Isaiah? Because he's going to preach for the next umpteen years. And the Lord says, now they're not going to listen. They're going to turn away from you. But bless God, he preached and bragged and magnified God and worshiped God anyhow. The woes you've been given may not be drawing anybody. I don't know. God can use that. I know. But I tell you what, you might just ought to try some worship. You might just ought to try magnifying him and worshiping him, for he inhabits praise when you and I do it. Sing another verse. Just a hair-lip devil in his crowd. Yeah, I'm talking.
This world doesn't know to this very day how Calvary touched my life, how everything was changed. But I know what he did for me, and I can testify. When Calvary touched this heart of mine, I passed from dead to life. You see, Calvary touched many things on that day. Mercy was crucified, and from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement, I rejoice in victory.
I don't know how many times I've preached through this chapter through the years, but I purposefully, last couple weeks, I left all those outlines in the drawer, wanted to look at it again, fresh and anew. Of course, all those are wanting to come out right now. I will say this, things changed. Not just when Isaiah got on the altar, but when the altar got on Isaiah, things changed.